This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, I tell Sean, I booked Phil Rosenthal for the show. I've taken over bookings. Kevin has been really stressed about these.
Finding posters for his walls and shit.
He made posters for the January 6th hearings that he was going to sell like outside of them, I guess. And they were
he tried to be nonpartisan with them and not choose a side, and it's like really fucking confusing. It's like wearing a Super Bowl hat at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I bought the Liz Cheney one.
Oh,
the collectible one? the foil hologram one that Kevin made. I didn't think anyone was going to buy that one.
And so it just did not take sides. The headline, the big text at the top is just, "Can you believe this?"
Yeah. And it lets you decide what
and
you
everyone
believe.
Is like, I get it. Like, honestly,
it works for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the don't look up of posters.
Yeah.
You find your own metaphor in it.
So he's been really, these were not even close to done in time. The renderings are still being done for these posters.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't hear the sound of Kevin's computer processing it. Hopefully the mic's not picking that up. I know it's been rendering at 7% complete.
And so I tell Sean, I booked Phil. And he says, "Oh, yeah, Phil, what's the Netflix show that show where he goes and he eats food?" And I said, "Somebody feed Phil." And he goes running off.
Why?
Sean is he's the type of friend, he will do anything you ask. And so he thought I was giving him an order, which I almost never do.
Is that why he showed up at my house with food?
So tell me what he brought you, because I know he was foraging a lot.
Oh, no.
There was just some old leaves.
Okay.
And something that looked
not
like
even
an animal,
good leaves, huh?
Okay. An animal of some kind, maybe roadkill.
Okay. He said he thought that was like a rare mushroom. Yeah.
Yeah, no. He needs to take a class.
He says he's self-taught. He's a self-taught forager.
That's so Sean, by the way.
Sean.
He takes accidental commands to the fucking absolute limit. Like, that has happened so many times. I was like, he came up to me one time, brought up, I forget what it was, some idea for a script he had, and it was really crazy outlandish, and there was no way I was financing it. So I just said, "Go fly a kite." This dude.
Oh, come on.
Fuck. Nearly electrocuted himself. It was a lightning storm, and
could make a lot of money with a friend like that.
Let's talk about money.
Finally,
let's
something
get
the three
it.
Of us have in common: Hollywood success.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names to the red carpet, lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with fill-in co-host John Gabris and our guest Phil Rosenthal. Phil, thank you so much for being here today.
What a pleasure.
Phil,
always a pleasure to see you eat, to see your world famous bite and smile at this point. Oh, so glad it's back. Phil, I believe on my travel show, I call out a Phil Rosenthal impression when I try a foie gras dumpling. I can do it.
See.
It's like this. I'm going to sip water instead of bite to do my Phil
impression. Yes.
Wow, he's really enjoying.
Oh, you kind of got like a meerkat energy when you try something you really like. You kind of like pop awake and then are like glancing around for predators or something. But I like it's pure joy watching you eat. I went to Lisbon and ate the same shit you did solely because of your show.
Don't
and
say
I got
shit.
Fat. What the fuck, man?
Don't say fuck.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank
Don't
you.
Say shit.
Don't right. say any of that.
I gotta stop saying shit and fuck. It's like a big thing.
Children watching. I have a long, yeah. loyal child following.
Your resume, creator of, more recently, I'll Have What Phil's Having and Somebody Feed Phil. Previously, Everybody Loves Raymond. People forget, I think, it's like such a part of the canon now. People forget how innovative it was at the time, and that show was actually considered, when it was first on the air, very scary.
Why?
The yelling. I don't think people were used to, like, I guess, like, you were so in it, you didn't know how scared everyone was watching that show. People had never seen yelling. People, like, would cover their ears. Like, people weren't used to, like, that much yelling on TV. It was a really scary show.
I think Robert's deep voice really, mm-hmm. like, scared a lot of Americans.
Everyone got really scared.
Did they not live at home with other people?
You know, I think...
Because that's where the stories were coming from. Our regular homes with regular people, and that is the... You know, I thought we toned it down on the show compared to my house.
I was just about to say, for home, a lot of people, home is scary for them. Yeah. So, like, yes. being reminded mm-hmm. of home is triggering.
And now it was coming out of the TV. It's like,
it's funny. When I went to Russia to help the Russians, they asked me to go there.
Raymond.
Exporting yeah. Raymond. They asked me to go mm-hmm. and turn my sitcom into Everybody Loves Kostya. And the only thing I said to them when I got there in my way of helping was to suggest that they try to keep it real. Not real American, but real Russian. I wanted Russian people to relate to it so that it would seem like real life to them, right?
Yeah.
And they were only used to doing very broad, sticky, over-the-top, cartoonish types of shows. And so when I suggested this, that we try to keep it more like real life, their answer to me was, real life is terrible. Why would we put that on television?
Valid point.
Yeah.
The Russians have a lot of good ideas.
And so, Kevin, when we, like, we always pull, like, a promotional clip for the show so we can just get Phil saying, when I went to help the Russians, cut the thing about that he was going to help them with a show, that just have him say what I told him. Just keep it real.
Great.
That's right. And they've listened to me ever since.
Yes, they've been keeping it so real. Everyone criticizes them for this stuff. You can't deny they're keeping it insanely real.
I think Exporting Raymond, if it was released today, it would do very well because, look, the Russians are back in the news.
Yes.
People searching Russia are like stumbling upon a comedy documentary.
The punchline of that whole story was that after I left, they did whatever they wanted. They didn't listen to me at all. And the show became, I got a Guinness Book of World Record medal from the Guinness Book of World Records. That adaptation of Raymond in Russia is the single most successful adaptation of a show from another country in history. It's still running and has 2 spinoffs. And it's not once a week. The show, it's 5 times a week, like a soap opera. I don't understand it.
I remember from the doc, the writers or the creatives having a hard time understanding, like, the husband-wife dichotomy of, like, well, no, she would of course have to do the chores or whatever. And I was like, oh man, watching you, like, articulate what's funny about Raymond to these guys, to those people, and they're like, we don't even have the same foundation for setup. Forget punchlines. We can't even land on similar setups.
Except that what I learned was that they were not telling me the truth. That is what they would like it to be. They would like to pretend that men are in charge and women do whatever we say. It's not true.
And I can feel I can feel this becoming a high and mighty. I can feel Gabrus kind of, like, getting too comfortable in the host role.
Yes.
I can feel that happening too.
And that's fine. It's not your fault. I had asked Kevin to sort of intervene when that happens, to just kind of, like, pull the plug, say that there was, like,
place.
Yeah, say that there was, like, a Zoom issue. Communicate with Gabrus off air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been ignoring all these texts from Kevin that
yeah.
Like, if you could just shut your camera and mic off right now, it's not happening. I'm sorry. When you hire me for a reason. I'm filling in for Sean. Big shoes to fill. I'm trying my fucking best here, Hayes. I'm sorry. Okay?
Again, he's cursing.
Oh, fuck. My bad.
And really bad stuff, too. Really, like, bad cursing.
Some of it's going to rub off on me.
Kevin, can you put the F word over those really bad curses I accidentally said, like, in post? Can you just fix it so it sounds like the
I'm
F
very
word?
Impressionable.
Well, that's the last thing we want is Phil, you taking some of this bad attitude I have out into the world.
Let's talk about rubbing off on each other.
Oh, okay.
John Gabris also has a show.
Yes.
Where he goes around the world. People. Yeah. You know, everyone has to watch him.
I've been told I rub people the wrong way, like frequently by collaborators.
Yes, it's
and
up and down.
Members.
Up and down. Not
I'm doing the wrong way. I'm going east west. You don't want to be going east west.
This is terrible. Come on.
But you have a show.
Phil has been rubbing off on me, is what you were saying.
Talk about your inspiration. Talk about your show. Talk about what inspired you to do a show where you have fun and everyone else has to be subjected to it.
Who are you talking to now?
Let's start with Phil, because some of his answers may rub off on me.
Good.
He's more experienced. He's more well-versed in this. I finally just got my dream job, but, you know, due to mergers, I have no idea if anyone will ever see it.
Yeah.
So Raymond ended in 2005. And right away, I started in with other sitcoms to sell, and nobody wanted any of them. And for years, I'm just writing pilots, and they sending me pilots for me to run. I don't want any of them, and they don't want any of mine, because the business had changed in the 9 years that we were doing that, our show. Meaning, everything they wanted, just carbon copies of Friends, it seemed like, or Sex in the City. Mm-hmm. And these weren't, that they're not my what I do. Right? Nothing wrong with those shows. Not, it's just not my sensibility and not what I'm good at. So they didn't want from me and I didn't want from them. And then I had this idea, this dream idea that started back during the Raymond days when we did a show in Italy and Raymond, you know, I saw Ray really transform, not just in the script that I wrote, a guy who didn't like traveling and suddenly got woke on the trip and then suddenly understood the magic of travel. I saw it happen to Ray Romano, the person, when we filmed. And that's when the light bulb, oh, I would love to do that for other people, right? So this is always in the back of my mind as I keep striking out in the world of sitcoms after Raymond. But let me tell you, when you walk into a major talent agency that knows you only as the sitcom guy who had some success, and you tell them, you know what I'm going to try now? A food and travel show. They look at you as if you just pooped on their desk. So they were not going to help me. They did not want this idea from me. They thought I was insane. And it took me 10 years to get the show.
Wow.
So when people say, oh, you're just doing what you love. Yes, now I am. But look at the road it took to get there. Nothing is easy. That, yes, this is a dream job. Was it worth the 10 years? I would say yes, because now I'm very, very happy. People say, oh, you look so happy. Are you always that happy? I am when I'm doing that show. Who wouldn't be?
Now, do you feel your body could have handled it better if they greenlit it 10 years ago?
Yes.
I'm feeling every bit of my party travel show. I was like, if I got the show when I was 32, I think I'd live through it. Now at 40, it's I don't know what the other side of this looks like.
By the way, that's the message. Go while your body can still handle it. Go like go now. You will never be as young as you are right now. That's what I say. Go while you can still hike up the mountain. Go while you can still, you know, party a little bit. Go while you can still eat the food. You don't want to be old man and being wheeled around on the beautiful sights. It's better than nothing, but you'd like to have some mobility when you travel. So
you'd like to eat 2 kilos of prosciutto without passing.
That's right.
Like,
you want to eat all the great stuff. You want to have the body to do it. So that also means taking care of yourself a little bit when you're not doing that. So the biggest question I get always, the number one question, how am I not 400 pounds? Because I don't do that when I'm not doing that. And I also, you're also, there's a trick. We're filmed for a week in a place and you're seeing it condensed into less than an hour. So yes, I look like a pig.
People don't understand that. People think everything is in real time. They think it's happening inside the TV while they're watching it. You just cannot explain to them that
a lot of people are begging for the behind the scenes of you on a Ducati motorcycle shooting to the next location at 110 miles an hour to get the bite in while there's a B-roll transition. Like, they just can't wrap their
heads
around
it. When you see the scene where I eat a lot, I am eating a lot, but that's all I ate that day. You know how they make a dog food commercial? They don't feed the dog until the commercial. And I'm the dog. I don't eat until that scene. And that scene
I'm
is
the
probably,
dog now.
Well, that's
man.
Not fair. Yes. I mean, you know, you gotta like this should be like a union show. You should be getting a lunch. Like
it should be a union show. I agree. I wish mine was, because then
By the way,
health insurance.
We stop for the crew. We must, that is very important. The lunch
but you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat in the
like, I can join them if I want, but it'd be pretty stupid. Okay.
I feel the same way.
Blow your appetite on the crew lunch. By the way, and the crew lunch is usually at one of the restaurants that we're filming in. And they eat fantastic well. And if you watch the show, you see that I don't finish anything I share with them.
Now, Phil, that is something my co-host Adam Pally and I stole from you. We feed, because also you're sitting there eating like Wagyu beef and you're like getting full and the sound guy has got a single tear coming out of his
eye. That's right.
And you're like, oh, fuck, Josh, you want a slice of this shit? You know, so you want a slice of this steak? I apologize.
That's right. Very nice.
You toss it in the air.
I toss it in the air. If he doesn't catch it, it lands on the floor.
Let them fight over it like dogs.
Well, you've done this. My question is, like, why stop with just like going around the world and like eating exotic foods? What about smelling? What about like going around the world and like smelling exotic, like very fine things from around the world, like very unique smells?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
somebody
a great
sniff
show.
Phil.
That would be a great show for you.
I agree.
How's your olfactory? Is it still? I know you're kind of popular for it back in the day. Is it still going?
I'm known as the guy who eats the food. You can be the guy who smells.
I can. Well, I don't want to stop there. I'm going to be touching things as well.
Oh shit. Okay.
I'm going to be touching all manner of things that you can only find in exotic locations.
Oh, you mean the X-rated version?
Exotic or erotic locations?
It's X for exotic.
Okay, got it.
I'm sure there are sites on the internet that would love a show like that.
Are you hoping people are watching your show, Hayes, and going, fuck, I got to get to Gibraltar and feel that rock.
I got
to
smell and feel that rock. I smell and feel it at the same time.
And then you describe it. Mm-hmm. Sniffing for Italy with Hayes Davenport.
Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG. That's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, That's big Milg energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to Milgs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A Frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your Milg!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to, like, smoke down a big-ass tree right now. And, like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math, I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
Oh, I have a pitch for you, Phil, because you've done this, you know, you've done your dream show now.
So now and I here get comes a nightmare.
The like Friends and Sex and the City thing, I get it's not your sensibility, and that's fine. Friends and Sex and the City.
Friends in the City?
Three men. 7 women.
All white.
All white. 3 of the 3 men are in their 20s. 3 of the women are in their 20s. The 4 other women are of a certain age. And they all... That's the show. Like, that's the group. They're all friends and Sex of the City with each other. And it's all New York.
Again, sounds great for you to do.
I don't have time. I'm smelling and touching my.
Why don't you combine the smelling
my palms
and
are raw.
Why don't you combine the smelling and touching with this idea, and they all smell wow. and touch each other.
Yeah, I'm glad you went to smell and touch because I know your the pilot's original premise was looking, and so
looking.
You found yourself describing what things looked like to people who could see it
they
on
could
camera.
See it.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
I think it should be called Smelling and Touching Friends in the City.
Smelling and touching : Friends in the City. I love it. Oh, you smell like such a Miranda. It's like stuff what people are going to start saying to each other.
Or, hey, wait a minute, you smell like Miranda. Where have you been?
Well, Gabrus, Maybe you could ask Phil for, you know, I don't know if the show's coming back.
You told me to like lay off asking questions to make it seem like, you know, so you want
this
me
is
to
no,
ask
but
Phil
no,
something
no,
now?
No, no, no. I said you get out of host mode. Host mode for you is not asking questions.
No, it's just me talking over. To be fair, host mode's a lot like guest mode. Don't let anyone else talk. Who cares what the premise of the episode is?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
But Gabers is a good interviewer. He can knows what to do.
Oh, how interesting, Hayes.
I've been on that couch.
In this case, I want to make sure, because I've heard things about his show, like, you know, with the merger and everything. Like,
Are you talking about, you're hoping that the Discover Brothers platform carries my show because you're a cord cutter, so you can watch it on Discover Brothers?
I'm just hearing, you know, the axe is, like, who knows where it will fall next. So in order to maybe secure the deal, if you go to them with a really compelling pitch for the next season, different places you could go, different things you could eat, maybe we could seal the deal on this thing. Maybe Phil can help. Maybe Phil has recommendations on like places that like, you and your friend.
We have 101
could
the show's
party,
called,
but could party before you die.
101 places to party before we die, or before you die, before one dies. I guess is the sort of subtext of the title. We went to 8 places in the first season, which hopefully will air and people will watch Thursday nights on True TV. But
when is this?
July 14th is our premiere.
I'm going to watch.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
And then you
hear that
note
true?
From me that says, stay out of my lane.
it's insane to be doing. Like, it feels crazy, right? You feel like, how is this? Like, this is what, if I got a job, what I would do on my time off is travel and eat food and drink. And now you're doing it for your job. It feels really like, I feel like I'm scamming someone and I'm afraid someone's going to find out and be like, no, you're supposed to be a ditch digger and like just shove me back to there or something.
I'd be afraid that nobody's going to find out.
Yeah, I mean, that's always
if
a
I were you.
But where did you know? You go? Tell us some of the places you went on your 8 trips.
We went to all American places. So we went to Maui, Moab, San Juan, Miami, Denver, Richmond, and Portland. That might be 8. And Atlanta. That's 8. There we go.
So
can't do
those,
a Turner show without going to Atlanta.
Of those on our show, we've only been to Portland. So it'll be fun to compare. Wait, did you go to Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine?
Portland, Oregon.
And
you went to Portland, Maine.
You went to Portland, Maine?
I went to
both.
Oh,
okay. Oh, hell yeah.
In this season, we go to Portland, Oregon and Portland, Maine. Yes. The shows that are on right now.
Oh, that's awesome. I enjoyed Portland.
Isn't it great? How about those food pods?
What's a food pod?
Oh, my God. He didn't do the food pods.
Well, I did
the entire episode there. They didn't do the food pods.
I'm going to take your license away.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. His license to party has been revoked.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's what it's called? Okay. Now I know. Yeah.
Learn the lingo, man.
I got to get with the link. My show is, we're definitely not helpful as hosts. Like, you're a good host in explaining this is like a food that's famous here and it's good.
But what's the premise of your show? You get high and eat?
Yeah, we get high and get drunk and eat and then do dumb activities.
This sounds terrible.
It's terrible for other people to watch. I don't understand who may want to watch. But it's amazing to shoot. It's just, I can't imagine who gives a fuck. But I also watch strangers make ceviche all the time, so maybe, you know, like, everyone likes dumb shit. Travel shows are what I lived on for so long, especially in the pandemic, so to get to do one feels like adding to a market that I love so much. I feel like a little kid who's like getting to throw a football to, you know, Michael Irvin or something. Like, I'm just like, I get to come out here on the field and be like, I also am doing something like this, and everyone's kind of like laughing. Like, Stanley Tucci shoves me and Padma spits on me.
It's exactly how I feel. Aren't I the luckiest guy in the world? So good for you. So you got in there.
Well, what should he do? So say they come back to him and say, all right, look, the show's coming back. It's now called 16 Places to Party Before You Die.
You think it was a little presumptive to like have that name for our show? Is that like a little bit like calling a shot? Like a little.
It's a great idea. It forces.
I mean, I don't know.
It's the name of the show. We got to do the name of the show.
It's a little presumptive about how long you're gonna live.
That's fair. To be fair, not only do we need them to pick up cycles, it needs to happen fast.
So where should he go? Season two, they get 8 episodes.
Yeah,
they get. 6 of them are still going to be in America.
Right.
And they get 1 episode where they travel to a place, 2 different locations, but they can drive between those locations.
Jesus Christ. Did you like talk to the UPM of the show? Like the shit you're saying is the shit. As someone knows how to cut corners.
They're not going to pay for 2 separate international trips.
No, we're going to Europe for 2 weeks, and it's a train ride between cities.
I have a suggestion where you should go.
I'm listening.
Kyiv.
Have you gotten there on your show?
No, I'm not crazy.
Okay.
You go.
I will. If it means a second season, I will go to Kyiv. And I will be not tell anyone that I just started pronouncing it as Kyiv this year.
Very safe for the crew to be running around Kyiv with something shoulder mounted. I'm sure that'll show up very clearly on the drone. Oh, no, it's okay. It's a camera.
Listen, God willing, that place will be okay, and they will, if you know, clear those bums out of there, and I'll go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would love nothing more than to support that country. That would be fantastic. I was just suggesting to Gabrus that he go now.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Exactly.
What's up? Welcome back to 101 Places. We are fighting with a citizen army on
behalf. See, but you're young enough. You can do this.
I still got it. I still have what it takes.
How about that fabulous Bourdain show where he was in Beirut when they started attacking and they had to get out during the thing, right?
Yes.
I'm not doing that. I'm not that guy. I'm not brave. I'm not an adventurer. I'm the opposite. I need a hotel with a bed, with a pillow. You know, I want to be a little comfortable.
You're so high maintenance. You demand a bed and a pillow on set.
What a rider. Yeah.
The PA's like, Phil needs a pillow in his hotel room, like rolling his eyes to the coordinator. He says he needs water in the car if you expect him to shoot in the desert.
Oh. I represent all the other people out there who are exactly like me. They do not want to risk their lives for entertainment.
I rappelled a waterfall in the finale of our show. And that was,
how'd you do?
I did. I succeeded. I lived. It was.
Yeah.
I look like an absolute. I'm screaming that I hate it and I don't want to do it. Like I look up there. I also ride a horse in one episode, and I was equally terrified of that.
I rode a camel. You ever ride a camel?
I have not.
It's brutal. Who designed this awful. As a form of transportation? You sit on there. First of all, a camel hates you. Doesn't want you on it, and is braying and you know doesn't want to. They have handlers to make them kneel so you can get on the damn thing. The thing hates you. And then as you're walking, I'm punching in the air one fist at a time. Boom, boom, boom on your undercarriage. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. This is not a pleasant. You've done it?
I've never done it because they were genetically engineered to not have me sit on them. They created this, this thing to say, this is not for you to sit on.
But how does a camel smell and feel, Hayes?
Oh, yeah, I won't ride it. I'll smell it. I'll touch every inch of it.
Touch him. Sir, we don't need it. Not every inch, please.
Let me tell you something. Second to riding it is smelling it.
Horses don't smell great either while we're on it.
And riding them also not so, you know.
If you're self-conscious about your size or weight, if you've broken a couple of chairs in mixed company because you're 295 pounds and people go, I swear that's good. If you broke your friend Ben Rogers' couch and had to buy him a new one, you might be. And then they're like, this is Boudreaux, climb on. And I'm like, he doesn't want me on him. He doesn't want anyone, and he certainly is not like, give me the biggest one. Like, I don't want to. I feel so. I'm sitting on his back. I'm like, I get it. I don't want to be up here. You don't want me here. Get me the hell.
Why don't you just put another horse on me?
Yes, I'll carry you, Boudreaux. Sit on my back, and I'll walk around with you and take a super long piss when you don't want me to.
I have a tip for you guys.
Yes,
because you're Phil. I'm sure still not used to, like, you're the star now. You know, you're
big star.
You're the on-camera talent.
Huge.
You're used to being behind the camera. I worked on a show with a major star whose name I will not reveal.
Do it.
But could be...
Wendy the Snapple Lady.
Could be one of the cast of Friends...
That smell.
Friends Having Sex in the City. Smelling and Touching.
Got it. Oh, are you saying that the star of your show was in... Was in could, Sex and the City?
One of those 10 people?
It could be one of those 10 people. And her producer came to
one
us.
One of those 7.
Okay, we narrowed it down to 7. Came to us one day and said, hey, so there was a vanilla candle in her trailer. Like, we don't, like, you should know, but, like, she doesn't do that. She doesn't do vanilla candle. And
she wants Gwyneth Paltrow's hoo-ha.
Right? Which is...
Now which Phil's is just reading his writer.
That's French vanilla. So.
It is and a so, marketing plan.
But then she comes along. All these people get in trouble. They're all a little scared. And then she comes along and she's like, guys, it's fine. I heard that there was an issue with the candle. The candle's great. I have no... Like, that whole thing, like, that's not a big deal at all. Like, don't worry about any of that. So now everyone loves her, but how else did this come up? Somebody mentioned the candle thing.
They're playing good cop, bad cop with the crew. Yeah,
with the candle.
I might take a page out of Cynthia Nixon's book there.
That's
I know
how
your
you
resume, hey. So.
A legendarily beloved...
Like, I don't know who told you that. Like, you have your team, like, lay ground fire before you roll up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and then you show up guys. And beat. Oh, I don't know why you guys, everyone's walking on eggshells. I'm fucking chill.
Take the cuffs off. Release them. Let them go.
There had to have been a moment where they're like, and they got the fucking vanilla candle in my trailer. You know, they're like, there's no other way.
How else would it come up? She didn't make that up.
These are the big problems. You know, when you don't have big problems, you take the little ones and make them big. That's why you get this behavior, this entitlement. You know, I think it's why someone, forget whatever other reasons were going on in his head. The only thing this man, Will Smith, has to apologize for is his entitlement. The fact that he thought the crowd would not only think it was okay, but love that he got on the stage when someone else was talking, let alone hit the man. That's, you're seeing entitlement. That's the only thing that he, when he comes on the, when he does his Oprah interview, if he doesn't apologize for that, I don't want to hear anything.
Well, this is Kevin's big thing. Like, you know, Kevin always has like a big speech he likes to, wants to make about this stuff. And like almost every episode, he wants us to carve out time where he can talk about the Will Smith thing. So really? Kevin, yeah, go ahead. Like, he disagrees with you on this, Phil. So
he does?
No, yes. I have a new poster out. This is a perfect time to announce it. That just says the slap, and that's it. And it's
not taking a side on the slap.
No, nope, it just says the slap, and it is selling like hotcakes. And so. There's a link in the description if anyone wants.
But you got
it.
A cease and desist from NBC, right?
NBC's the slap. Yeah.
Zachary Quinto is suing.
Yeah.
So those are really late.
Yeah.
Do you know what peak entitlement is? You know what behavior drives me crazy? Is when someone complains about something that bothered them, it gets fixed. Like in a minor way, like restaurants or at work or something, and it gets fixed. It's like, God damn it. You know, the soda machine's always broken. Someone's like, the next day it's fixed. That person who's like, could you believe yesterday the soda machine was broken? And you're like, can you believe he fucked up my order? It's like, yeah, but you got the new fresh order. Yeah, yeah, where it's like,
isn't
I just
life
can't
bad
get
enough.
Yeah, we need I can't to get out of the headspace.
Yeah.
Like trapped in there, like, I can't believe they gave me the dish with peanuts. It's like, yep, yeah, but they took it away and gave you back the dish without peanuts, and you're going to be okay now. And it's like,
nope,
peanuts,
I
want to
stay complaining because complaining is what we do.
And that's when you realize someone's just choosing to be mad
yes.
in that moment. You're just
yes.
like, of all the choices you can make, you're just going to choose to be pissed while we're out to dinner?
Okay. I will not sit here while you denigrate my people.
The complainers?
Yes.
So, Phil, what's next? What do we...
I'm going to lie down.
The next season is you lying down?
Yes. Somebody tuck Phil in.
The show's called... The show's still called Somebody Feed Phil, but it's like more desperate sounding.
Exactly.
Somebody feed Phil.
That's
as
right.
You're just lying down there.
I'm just laying there. I like the title because it denotes like a guy who can't take care of himself, like a dog.
It's one of the great titles. And it's part of the structure that you built, which is blank buddy, verb, guy.
That's right. And the theme song.
Somebody love Phil.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Somebody, please.
Please, can we get somebody to love Phil?
And you know who's saying that usually? My wife.
Oh, gosh.
Phil, did you have travel show inspirations when you were
Bourdain?
Yeah, of
Bourdain.
Course, right? No Reservations and all the other Bourdain.
Say, Rick Steves is a big listener. If you just like give a little shout to Rick Steves. I don't want to get an email from him.
I always say I'm just like Rick Steves without the intelligence or the sex appeal.
Yeah. Yes. I'm only like Rick Steves in that I also like weed.
I heard that.
Rick Steves, big proponent of legalizing cannabis.
I heard that.
And
he
travel. Is. Those are two of my favorite things in the
you
world.
You know, he doesn't look the type. You should never judge someone by mm-hmm. how they look because mm-hmm. he's, I guess, really, really cool.
Yeah. I look like I have
yes.
the look. Yeah.
I you look like the guy in the box.
A guy at Morimoto in Maui called me Low Rent Maddie Matheson. We were filming a dinner scene and
kind.
Yeah, I know. I was like, thank you. We were cursing a little bit in what we were talking. We were just because, as you've heard, vulgar mouth. And this,
but you, that's on the show. You're cursing too.
Well, I think they'll be bleeping it, but yeah, we're cursed. It's, you know, we got real. Like you told the Russian writers.
Yes.
Keep it real. A woman nice. Comes over and says, we're dining with our daughter over there. Could you just, and your language is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, so sorry. We will keep it down. Her daughter's like 12. And then she starts walking back and her husband who's sitting there next to the door is like, fuck it. And he screams, fucking Low Rent Maddie Matheson. And I just turn and I go,
wow.
I can't curse in front of your daughter, but you can act like this at like a crowded resort restaurant. And then the producers all had to come in. You know, it got like a little Real Housewives.
Wow. It sounds like that show that was set in the Maui Hotel. What was that show called?
Oh,
White Lotus.
White Lotus.
Yes.
Kevin.
Sorry.
White Lotus. Sounds like a scene from White Lotus. He's going to come and poop in your luggage.
Fingers crossed.
Phil,
what's
next? I don't want to fill in for you, but book.
Yeah. Oh, the book is coming.
Book coming. Somebody book Phil.
So the book it's called Somebody Feed Phil the Book. You can already pre-order it. It comes out in October.
Are you concerned that people are going to try and feed you the book?
It could happen. I didn't put a comma. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I know it's late. I don't know where the book is and it's pressing, but Somebody Read Phil is right there.
Somebody Read Phil.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. But
okay, tagline. Tagline, it's a good caption. How about it just a tweet? Can you give me?
Maybe the next book.
All right. I like that. That's that call. You should have called it Phil's first book.
It has 60 recipes from the first four seasons that the viewers requested, the most requested recipe. So at the very least, it's an excellent cookbook.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
yeah,
just again, I could feel Gabrus trying, like, again, this is,
he wants to interrupt. It's,
no, I yes. apologize. Hayes, you were saying something. It started with and really loudly. So
podcast,
like a
podcast. getting in
I
the game.
I have a podcast like you.
Welcome
it's
to the family.
Naked Lunch.
Yes.
Naked Lunch with my friend David Wild, and we interview the stars of the day, and it's really fun, and we eat lunch while we do it, and we're naked.
We got together, the podcasting community. We said, excited to have Phil and David. This is the last one.
No more. I agree with you. I'm closing the door behind me.
Yes.
I am the ladder for those who come behind me is being drawn up.
It's pulled up
with me.
We're pulling up the step ladder of podcasting.
The helicopter is taking off
from Saigon.
Anyone who's hanging onto the skids, we break their fingers.
They're going to fall. I like this idea. I think there's too many also.
Indeed. I'm just happy you're not watching old episodes of Raymond and getting paid off of it again. I'm just happy you are doing something new in podcasting. I feel like TV stars are coming back and watching their own shows.
That I do on my own late at night, really pathetically.
Yeah, I've gotten some of your crying voicemails about what you're watching.
I eat, I'm scraping the bottom of the mac and cheese pot from the Kraft mac and cheese, and I watch old Raymond episodes. That's what I do at night.
So I know you know the Doughboys. You did an episode of the Doughboys.
I love the Doughboys.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of them.
If you just want any tips on like eating on a show, I did an episode of the Doughboys where I ate 69 shrimp. The Sonic experience. For the listener, there's just like certain ways to like eat and certain foods that you eat. Shrimp is one of them that like is very pleasurable for a podcast listener to hear. And it's an effect where like the more shrimp you eat, the more like the better it sounds. It's it's exponentially pleasurable.
It's because it's a soft, chewy thing.
Yeah, it's not that soft the way I eat it.
With the shell,
which is tail first.
I ate it with the shell on.
So my crack.
My teeth are connecting a lot.
Yes.
So
it sounds pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I do a lot of episodes where I eat jars of peanut butter with a head cold. And people seem to really like the way that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a stuffy nose jar of almond butter going down.
I'm doing a show where everybody has a straw and a cup and there's three drops left in the cup and that's all you hear.
Where can we find do we have a network for Naked Lunch? Is this
it's
self-produced?
Stitcher, but it's everywhere you can get podcasts. It's on there. Where do people hear this?
Kevin is trying to get it posted to the internet really soon.
For now it's playing in small venues in
right now we're just North handing
Hollywood.
Tapes out on the corner of Melrose and
hey, you like podcasts?
You like a podcast? Hey podcast at the ball game. Hey podcast.
Yeah, I'll take two episodes of the Flagrant Ones, right? And they fucking whip it down to you and the jewel case hits your hand real hard.
Hey, what happens? They throw it from far away. You should do a Somebody Feed Phil about this, where you just like you get the peanuts from thrown to you from really far away. By the time you get over there, you ate the peanuts.
Yes.
They want money. You say you didn't know.
You're like a network executive.
You're trying to save money on.
You say I don't have any money. I didn't know. You didn't say it cost money. I can see it's you wearing a button that says $11.50. I couldn't see that from you threw it to me from so far away.
And then he wants $5. So what I do is he's far away. So I throw $5, but I don't curl it up or anything. I just throw it. It lands at my feet, and then I said tried. And then
you pick it up. Somebody dropped this going once, going twice, put it right in your pocket.
That's how you do it, people. I didn't make money from nothing. This is smart business sense.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.